Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
It's almost really hard to imagine now that my son is 23, but I actually do remember being at my six-week postpartum checkup and the doctor giving me the A-OK to go have sex. And I looked at him like he had three heads, like, why do you think I want to have sex? I was exhausted. I certainly didn't feel particularly sexy. And, you know, I was talking to my best friend several months later, and I said to her, gosh, am I ever really going to want sex again? And she goes, yeah, once you stop breastfeeding, everything will be fine. And I really was really very happy that she said that to me, because to be honest, sex was really the last thing on my mind. And, you know, in my practice, I talk with a lot of women who, you know, they hold the belief that mothers don't have sex. And I just never kind of understood that, because it's like, well, how did you think you got to be a mom? But this whole issue of continuing to be intimate with your partner once you have children is really a problem. It really is a concern for a lot of marriages. And I know that it's one of the reasons why couples end up in sexless marriages. And the thing is that sex and other forms of intimacy are really, really important to the health and satisfaction of marriages. So intimacy coach Janae Paillette is my guest today, and we're going to be talking about how you can be both a mother and a sexual being at the same time. Right, Janae? We can, right?
Yeah, we can. My God, yes, for sure. Although I think maybe
well, that's
really
the good news.
It's great news.
Well, you know, and actually, you know, I mean, and my kids over the years have, you know, kids think that their parents only have sex the number of times there are actually children in the household, and you know, my kids would just get completely grossed out if my husband and I ever kind of really got physical, like hugging or kissing. In fact, when my daughter was little, she literally used to try to shove her way in between me and her dad when we were in the kitchen hugging and kissing. You know, it's like, no, don't do that. So, you know, so, but other than that, you know, kinds of things like that that the kids do, where does this idea that mothers don't have sex come from?
Well, you know, it's curious for me, because it's a little bit of, is it an idea versus is it an experience that women just have, you know, after they have children, they're feeling like their body is being used for something other than sex. I think that the concept of mothers don't have sex really stems from the whole Madonna whore complex that women have. And when you talk to women about that, they resonate with that. They're like, oh yeah, right. Like there's this distinction that we make once we become a mother that all of a sudden we have to be the Madonna, and we can no longer be, you know, the whore, the archetypal whore, the sexually expressed, juicy woman, that there is something that's disrespectful about that, that there's something that makes us really uncomfortable, and then often that whole Madonna whore complex is also conditioned into us from early childhood, and, you know, our partners are kind of often feeling the same way as well. Like all of a sudden the men, you know, the dads are like, whoa, wait a second, like she's a mom now, you know,
right.
Not feeling comfortable being sexual with her, right? There's, you know, so it's coming at us from all different angles. It's amazing that we actually end up having sex again.
Right, yeah, because eventually, you know, there's usually a second, maybe a third or fourth child along the way, and they have to get here somehow. And it's,
right.
You know, I mean, and I think a lot of it also just has to do with how comfortable women are being sexual beings anyway. Because I know that in, at least in the culture here in the United States, not it, it doesn't exist this way in other some other countries, but in a lot of countries, it's not okay for women to be sexual, enjoy sex. It, you know, it's that whole somehow you're unworthy. And I think maybe that's where the whole, like you're talking about the Madonna whore split comes in, that it's okay before we take on the glorified role of mother, that we can be these earthy, in touch with our bodies, wanting, you know, pleasure, and now somehow once we become a mother, then all personal pleasure is put aside. You know, and I mean,
that's definitely true. I think there's also another way in which that happens, is because I think that women and girls in particular are pre-programmed to say no to sex. We're pre-programmed by society to say no to sex. The Madonna whore complex is just one of the ways in which we're pre-programmed. And so, you know, anything, you know, we look for any excuse. We don't do this on a conscious level, mind you, but on an unconscious level, we often look for any excuse to say no. And motherhood is one of the great excuses, just like menopause is one of the great excuses to be able to say no, right? So there's that piece that's going on for us as well. But yes, you know, women are totally, I think women here in the United States are very sexually repressed, and we're very disconnected with our sexuality, right? And that really shows up in motherhood in a major way.
Well, and I do think it's also important to point out, because I was actually talking about this at the opening, I mean, really, for several months, I was not interested in sex, but I do think there's some physiological reasons for that. I talk about, you know, back before there were effective methods of birth control, there was, you know, a pseudo method of birth control. Although this very same friend I was talking to says, yeah, don't buy the idea that you can't get pregnant when you're breastfeeding, because she did.
Right.
But there is, I do think, some of that lowering of the libido, not to mention just exhaustion from having a newborn, comes into play. But what are some of the other real impediments to maintaining intimacy as parents? Because I know, I mean, because there are some physical ones, but there are also, I think, some psychological ones, aren't there?
Yeah, but I also want to mention another physical one, because it's a really important one that I think a lot of women are not comfortable seeing or admitting, which is that, in truth, moms who are breastfeeding are actually, many of them, deriving a lot of sexual pleasure. The experience of breastfeeding for some women is very, very pleasurable. It's sexually satisfying for us. So the oxytocin is constantly flowing for women, right? So it's almost like we don't need to go outside of the child-parent-mother relationship in order to feel pleasure in our bodies. And when you really talk to women about that, there's a lot of shame around that, but it's true. You know, for many women, it's very pleasurable. So I think that's actually a really big piece. And I think also because of that, it makes the dads feel uncomfortable. So the question
is, not just the dads. We have the whole society in this whole argument about whether women should breastfeed in, you know, in the back, in the dark, you know, not.
Right. No, absolutely. That, yeah, for sure. But I mean, like, just in terms of the sexual piece of it, right? I mean, there are many women who will tell me, because I work with a ton of moms, that after breastfeeding their kids, they lost any sensation or interest to have their husband suck on their breast or, you know, play with their nipples. They used to love it, and now they hate it, right? And that's really not, I mean, it's showing up physiologically, but it's actually a psychological barrier, because they are associating that type of touch with childbearing, with nurturing, and not with sexuality. And that's, in fact, what happens, right? Our sexuality gets changed or shut down because of these experiences that we're having, and it does impact our whole emotional state around it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, and it's something we don't really talk about, and, you know, because other than my doctor going, okay, physically you're A-OK, and I'm like going, but I don't, I mean, my body had changed.
Right.
You're going through birth. I remember reading, I can't remember where I read this, but that it basically takes a woman's body a year to recover from an individual pregnancy and birth. That's how traumatic and, you know, the experience is. And
yeah.
So, but I can't remember where I read that, but I'm like going, well, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. But none of my doctors ever said anything about it. And we don't talk about this.
Right.
And of course, husbands and wives may not talk about it. And, you know, and it wasn't true in my case, but in a lot of cases, I know that a lot of couples don't have sex in the last, you know, few months of pregnancy, you know, either because of discomfort or, you know, because, you know, somebody does, whether she doesn't feel attractive or he doesn't find her attractive. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things can kind of lay the groundwork for future problems, can't they?
Absolutely. No, there's no question about it. I always think it's important, you know, like, there's a lot of ways in which you can have sex, and it's not all about, like, penis, vagina sex. And there are plenty of ways that pregnant women can still feel pleasure and feel sensation in their body and have orgasms, which I think is really important, especially going into the last trimester, because it gets the body ready for birth. So, you know, I think one of the things you just hit upon, what's a real impediment to maintaining intimacy as parents, is that, as exactly like you said, a lot of moms don't feel sexy. And when we don't feel sexy and we don't feel beautiful, that's one of the triggers for us, right? That's one of the things. Like, if you're feeling sexy and beautiful, then, you know, you can be more open and feel sexually expressed. And when the opposite is true, it actually shuts us down. It's a contraction space. So the changes in a woman's body after giving birth is, I think, one of the impediments to be able to maintain intimacy, because we're not feeling turned on by our own body. So we think our partner is not turned on to our body as well, right?
Well, and doesn't how we experience sexual pleasure also change just because our bodies have changed? That's what we used to find pleasurable, we might not now, but that doesn't mean we can't find something else pleasurable, but we don't necessarily go investigate.
Right. Right. Well, that was my example. Like, there are women who feel like their breasts are all of a sudden off limits, and they have no pleasure in them and no sensation in them. I work with that on, like, okay, I totally believe that you're feeling numbness, but there's a emotional, psychological component underneath that where you can start to feel pleasure again. So there's two pieces to it. One is, like, you know, what's the emotional block? Because all of a sudden the part of your body is shut down and feeling numb. And the second piece is, okay, well, maybe if that's not working for me right now, what else might be working for me? How else can, you know, I derive experience? But what I guess my message is, you know, I really don't want people to give up, because if something feels different or all of a sudden a body part is feeling numb, there's hope, right, that can be changed, right? That's not going to be like that for the rest of your life. You may have to do some work around it, because it's typically an emotional block that's showing up there. Yes? Make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, and the emotional block is important, and it's really funny because of the circumstances around my son's birth, he couldn't room in with me in the hospital. And so I kind of got kind of used to not having him with me. So when he came home from the hospital, he went straight into his crib in his own room. So he was actually never in my husband and my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed us not to have, you know, once I was interested in having sex again, that wasn't an impediment. But sometimes the children can become actual physical impediments.
Absolutely.
Because they're in the room.
They're in the room, and there's this whole family bed movement that seems to be very big in Northern California, which I think just totally messes up intimacy with parents, and also does not teach children boundaries. Like, I think it's a very boundaryless you know, philosophy, which I have personally have issues with. And I think that's part of the problem in our, you know, for women in particular, is that we often allowed our boundaries to be crossed in these type of situations, or encouraging our boundaries to be crossed in the name of this is better for the family or this is better for our children. And I'm not so sure that at the end of the day, it actually is better for our children, and definitely not better for our sex life, right? It definitely causes problems. So yes, children can definitely, the physicality of a kid in your bed definitely gets in the way of physical intimacy. I think another thing that gets in the way of physical intimacy is just making it a priority. Like, just making time for each other and saying, having a conversation, saying like, wow, you know, so we're 9 months post-baby and it's really time for us to find time and put it on our calendar and figure out, like, how do we just spend time alone together naked? We don't have to have sex. But what if we can just, like, be in bed and touch each other and hold each other and have some intimacy with each other? Plan things, right? Put a date on the calendar. Those are all hard things when you're a new mom.
Well, and I think that's, and I do really think that's important, because being a new mom is really overwhelm. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're exhausted. And then, of course, as I tell people, you know, no matter how precocious your child is, at 3 months, at 6 months, at 9 months, even a year, they're still not able to take care of themselves. So you're right. still on call all the time, but you need to be able to make time for yourself and your partner. And it's just so easy to always be there for the child. And I'm in no means suggesting that we don't pay attention to our children.
Right,
but
right.
You know, but it's really okay. I mean, I love it. I didn't like it when I first moved into the house that I live in now, because there's a church not terribly far away that they play recorded music 3 times a day, at 9 in the morning, at noon, and at 6 p.m. at night. But it was the best thing before my kids could tell time, because I used to tell them, you may not get out of bed on Saturday and Sunday morning until you hear the church bells, because I knew... Because that gave me and my husband until 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really think that you're talking about being conscious mm-hmm. and acting with intention to reconnect. Because, you know, it's always, well, I've got to do the laundry, or I have to get the kids ready, you know, clothes ready for school or whatever. And then sex just becomes one more chore on the to-do list.
Totally. And it's always on the bottom of the list. It just is. It's always, you know, it's always on the bottom of our list, because, you know, as women, we're great multitaskers. We get really easily distracted. So, you know, even if we're having an intimate moment with our partners, it's so easy for us just to lose it. Right? Mm-hmm. Very, very easy. It doesn't take a lot, especially if you're a mom and you've got, you know, you're managing kids and a job and, you know, a huge amount of responsibility, right? So, you know, that's another thing that really gets in our way, is just having our ability to do all of this multitasking and the ability for us to get really easily distracted. It's something on our chromosomes. Definitely on the X chromosome.
So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with intimacy coach Janae Paillette about the important topic of keeping intimacy alive in your marriage once you become parents. And if you and your partner are struggling to regain intimacy, I encourage you to take action now. You can contact Janae, or you can contact me. You can reach me at Leslie@foundationscoachingnc.com or at 919-924-0463, and, you know, take advantage of my free, no obligation discovery session on how to make your marriage great. So now let's get back to how you can do something right now to get your marriage back on track. So Janae, what steps can a woman take that will help her reignite her desire for physical intimacy once she's a mom? Because I think sometimes you know, they lose that they just lose the desire. You know, I don't know whether it's you don't use it, you lose it, or whatever, whatever that thing is. So what's going on?
Well, I mean, it's definitely multi-layered, but what I've noticed is both there's a physical component and there's obviously an emotional component. So I always start with the emotional component because, you know, a lot of women, not everybody, but a lot of women, once they become moms, they're maybe, you know, while they love being moms, they're feeling like they've had to give a part of themselves up. Whether, you know, if they had a career before and now they don't, or hobbies that they love to do, which they can no longer do. I see this particularly a lot with stay-at-home moms, who are a big part of my client base, where there's just all of a sudden, there's all of this, like, kind of resentment. You know, resentment at their partner, and then there's guilt because you know, their partner is working hard, they're able to stay home and be a mom, but there are other emotional pieces about being a mother, about feeling like you're not being supported at home by your partner, about feeling like everything is on your shoulders that gets in the way of your desire. Because,
right.
You know, if you're angry or you're feeling resentment at your spouse or your children, right, then your desire just goes down into the trash chute. It just does. It's not there. So I see that a lot.
Well, and I think that this is a real challenge. And you know, it's because when a baby comes along, there is much more work, but we don't get any more extra time in a day. We still only have 24 hours, and so you know, we're still trying to figure out how do we fit it all in. And I think a lot of couples don't ever sit down and reevaluate the task list. I mean, I love telling this story about one of my sisters, and you know, it was her first child, and she was doing all the right things. You know, she was boiling everything, and you know, she's standing there one day boiling the bottles and the nipples, and she looks at her son who's crawling around on the floor eating food out of the dog's dish, and she looks at the kid, and she goes, "Why am I doing this?" That was the last time she sterilized anything. But you know, we get so caught up, and then we don't stop and say, "Well, what needs to be done? Who's going to do it?" You know, I've never understood these people who did laundry every day. I mean, even when my kids were little, I did not do laundry every day. So,
and you know, I think, you know, we have, you know, what happens is, like I said, it's a boundary issue as well, right? It's like we're allowing our boundaries to be crossed, that we're not able to stand up and say, like, wow, you know what, this isn't going to work for me. I need an hour to myself. I need some time alone. You know, we need to get a babysitter, or we need to get a family member, or we need to do something, right? So it's losing contact with us and losing a part of ourselves, or much of ourselves, maybe all of ourselves, into motherhood, and needing to reclaim that peace. Because before you can really start to want to connect with your partner, you've got to feel good about yourself, right? You've got to feel like you're in your body, that you're connected with your own energy, that you're doing something. Maybe it's just one thing a day that you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's so important, that we're a little bit, I don't want to use the word selfish, but that we're able to know what we need and express that need, and also be like clear, like, no, I really need to do this in order for me to be happy and healthy. And
I'm actually glad you... I'm actually glad you brought up that word selfish, because that's the word that gets thrown around, that, well, if I take time for myself, or if I take care of myself, aren't I being selfish? And I jump up and down and go, no, you're not being selfish. You're taking care of yourself. To me, you're only selfish if you don't pay any attention to the impact of what you're doing on other people. That, to me, is selfish. And so if you're making sure that your child is well taken care of, and your partner's taken care of, and you go for a run, or you go out to lunch with a friend, or you go to the gym, or whatever, that's not selfish. It's only selfish if, like I said, you're not taking into account other people. So that's one thing that I'm hoping that this show particularly will get women to understand. It's not selfish to take care of yourself. How do you think you're going to have anything to give if you're running around on empty? And I think isn't that part of what happens with the whole sex and intimacy is that, you know, they're just so drained, they don't have anything left.
Yeah, totally, completely exhausted, drained, and they have nothing left. Absolutely, I see that. You know, I see that all the time. And, you know, sometimes just being able to have a conversation with your partner about, like, wow, this is what's happening for me, and this is why I'm not desiring to have sex, like, starts to clear the air, right, having those conversations. And then also, like, I think something that women really need to be doing is also staying connected with their own sexual energy, like, with their own sexuality, pleasuring themselves, touching their bodies, you know, doing a self-loving practice. I mean, that is often a really important way, especially as you become a mom, to be able to stay connected with your body, to be able to stay connected with your pleasure, and to be able to stay connected with your desires.
So I don't know if you hear the women screaming. But it's like, how do they do that? What are some of the things that they can do to get back in touch with their bodies?
You know, I would say some of it is simple, which is like starting to, you know, this is going to sound funny, but like starting to like put a pair of G-strings on or a pair of sexy underwear on, even though you're running around with the kids all day, right? Starting to remember, right, that, oh, I'm a sexy body, I'm a sexy being, and I can do something. You know, there's the saying, like, fake it till you make it, right? I totally do not agree with for orgasms, but,
right.
But you know, in terms of, like, starting to, like, put some sexy clothes on, you know, we all are running around wearing yoga clothes and big comfortable tops because we're nursing and all these other, you know, that makes sense, right? But, you know, starting to wear something sexy that makes you feel beautiful, starting to connect with, you know, something around you that you love, like noticing a beautiful flower or having flowers in your home because it makes you feel good, noticing what kind of scents, like, turn you on, right? Maybe it's fresh mint or whatever, but really starting to get in touch with the sensual. I think we have to start with the sensuality component of it before we go to the sexuality component. So getting back in touch with your sensual self, moving your body, dancing, right? Ways in which we can start to feel that sensual energy that, you know, we all have, but we've forgotten about once we become moms because we're putting our energy everywhere else. So I always suggest that that's one of the ways to start to get back in touch with your desires, your pleasure, sensations, right? Tasting things and being really conscious. And I think what you said before is really true, like being really conscious about making time for yourself, making time for sensuality. I like to send women to pole dancing classes and Zumba classes, right? Because they get to move their hips and, you know, sexuality at some level, certainly in a pole dancing class, is really being celebrated.
And I think there's another component that needs to be mentioned here because, yes, your body is not going to be the same after kids as before kids, but it's also true that your partner, your husband, can still find you incredibly attractive. And I get a lot of women who poo-poo their husbands when their husbands go, no, I find her really sexy. And, you know, she's focused on, well, I still haven't lost those last 10 pounds, and, you know, my breasts aren't as perky. And he doesn't notice those things, and it's really hurtful and to not believe them. And I really think that women I mean, now not all guys are like this. There are some guys who are not very nice men, but that's not most of them. I mean, most of them still find their ladies very attractive, even, yeah. you know, if they're not quite the same. And I think it's important for women to really pay attention to that.
Yeah, I think it is important for women to pay attention to that. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear that because we don't feel that ourselves. So I always like, you know, I absolutely agree. Like one of the ways and when I work with couples, I always tell men, like, so, you know that the women are going to be outside of their body spectating. We're going to be thinking about what our body looks like while we're having sex. And that's what we do. And, mm-hmm. you know, you need to, like, give us positive reinforcement. Right? In a way that makes it feel good for us. So, you know, if I say my ass is really big or my breasts are sagging, you know, telling me, no, they're not, that's not true, right? And then you get angry as opposed
right.
to, like, right? As opposed to, yeah, but, like, they're more fun to play with because they're bouncier. I can stretch them, whatever, right? it's true, though. A way in which you take something that we perceive as a negative and turn it into a positive without basically telling us we're crazy. Because we're not
right,
crazy,
and
right?
And I think it's also important on the flip side is that when we tell our partners that doesn't feel good or that we don't like that part of our body anymore or whatever, that they honor that and don't try to...
Right.
I don't want to say convince us otherwise, that's not quite what I mean, but to honor that and go, okay, I will respect and not talk about that part of your body or whatever because then that backfires too.
Right, absolutely. No, that's definitely true. That's definitely true.
Okay,
so,
well,
yeah,
you and
I think you're right, that's a big piece.
Yeah. And, well, we could keep talking about this because I think it's a tremendously important topic to talk about, but can you please let the listeners know where they can, because I know you've got a great newsletter and I know you've got some other things out there that would be really helpful for women who are, you know, either struggling with this, want to reignite the passion in their relationship. They just don't know where to go. They don't know how to do it. So can you please tell them where they can find you?
Oh, sure. So I have a website. It's www.powerofpleasure.com. And you can email me at Jeanette@powerofpleasure.com. So I also offer a short free consultation, and I do Skype and Zoom, other video type work with people who are not in the Bay Area. And yeah, I've got lots of tools, including an ebook just for women, 30 Days to Orgasmic Bliss, A Woman's Guide to Pleasure. And there's lots of juicy exercises and skills and tools to help a woman start to get back in contact with her own sensations and her body and her own pleasure.
It's a really great ebook. It's got a lot of information, and it's not anything scary, ladies, so go ahead and sign up for it, because becoming a parent doesn't have to mean the end of your sex life. Yes, it is going to change, but letting it die is a choice that you really don't have to make, and staying intimately connected to your spouse is really important for the long-term health of your marriage. And if you really want to give your kids a great start in life, the best gift you can give them is to take care of your marriage. So keep listening for more ways to make your marriage great. And until next week, stay loving.